This is URN.
The Film Show Breakdown.
Hello and welcome to The Film Show on URN, back for another year. So let's crack on with the UK box office top 10. At number 10 is Bill. Now, have any of you into horrible histories? Have any of you seen the TV show?
On CBBC?
Yeah. It's really good, isn't it?
It's a bit weird. It's okay.
I think it's really, really funny. Most of you will have read Horrible Histories books as children. It's those people, they've made a TV show and now they've made Bill, which covers Shakespeare, the lost years. It's sort of like an origin story for William Shakespeare. I found it really, really endearing and funny. It's like silly and throwaway, but it doesn't pretend to be anything other than that. It's just really good fun. If you like puns, there are puns abound in this film. Like it's like a sketch show almost, but for now, it doesn't feel too like long or anything. I thought it was really funny, but you can't see it anymore. Catch it on home release. Number 7 is The Visit. Tom, tell us about The Visit.
So it's the latest from M. Night Shyamalan, who's had a bit of a lost career, it's safe to say. After obviously The Sixth Sense and things, he's sort of become known as the guy with the twists and that does films like The Last Airbender. But The Visit, I don't want to say like a return to form, mainly because I hate that phrase, but it's good. It's not as serious and weighty. It doesn't feel like he's trying to do something sort of serious. It's just an entertaining sort of genre piece, and so it works for that. It's about two kids who have never met their grandparents because their mother fell out with them years and years ago and has never spoken to them since. Indeed. And basically, the daughter has decided she wants to... The grandparents have gone back in touch and want to meet them, and so they're going to go there for a week. And the daughter decides, because she's like a big film buff, she decides she's going to create a documentary about this and sort of get to the bottom of why and hopefully get the grandparents to forgive the daughter.
Yeah, only the only issue I had with the trailer was... it's found footage and it just looked kind of tired, the found footage element of it. I'm not a big fan of those things. How do you guys feel about horror and found footage stuff? Do you feel it's been done to death?
I hate horror. I can't watch
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah, I need to leave light on.
I don't understand the appeal of the found footage films. I want to see a proper film, really.
I don't think
why
of
it is
as
it
an
not?
Appeal, not appeal thing. I just think that it's something that has been massively overused and you should only use it if you have a reason.
Here I feel it has a valid reason, because it's not so much found footage as just the documentary that she makes.
Okay.
Because you know it is the end, it has the full thing. If this is the documentary she makes, she's not a very good documentary maker, which is sort of the point. Because I think in many ways it's Shyamalan sort of taking the Mickey out of himself and that kind of overly serious sort of filmmaker. Because she keeps using, you know, she's basically like the textbook of film studies essentially. In that every time the brother asks what she's doing, she'll just use mise-en-scene to sound clever kind of thing. And so it is sort of deliberately self-aware in that
sense.
Yeah,
mise-en-scene is a term that really annoys me.
Because it means very... It means very little, in fact.
I first heard it when my housemate, who is doing film studies, talked about the mise-en-scene of a film. And I was like, what's that? And he was like, it's just the stuff.
It's just everything it's just in the film. In the it's film. Literally just everything that's in it. Great.
Yeah. Okay, well, maybe I'll check that out. You've sold me on it, because I wasn't going to watch it based on the trailer.
Good.
You've also seen the sixth entry in the box office top 10, which is Solace.
Yeah, my thoughts are probably going to be all over the place because I only saw it earlier today. Apparently, Sam, who was on the show last year, said it was written sort of as an after Seven came out in the mid-90s.
Yeah.
And it's got that kind of serial killer, people on track and a serial killer vibe. Only it's like Seven added to Silence of the Lambs, added to The X-Files, all mashed together and then made by the people who make Criminal Minds, a TV show. In that there's some really interesting ideas in there.
Is that like CSI?
It is, but not as sort of stylish, quote unquote.
Okay.
It doesn't have that aesthetic. It's just more like a procedural.
Okay.
And so it's very greys and browns and.
Yeah, I thought the plot sounded really silly.
It's silly.
Like Anthony Hopkins is a psychic who helps with crime, right?
Yeah, he gets basically he did used to, and then he sort of gets brought in because there's been these regular murders. But I think. It's aware that that's kind of a silly thing,
okay. But
it doesn't then do anything clever with it. It just sort of like, yeah, we know it's silly, but deal with it. And I don't know, there's some interesting stuff in there. Like during the rest of it, it's sort of visually quite meh. But then during the sort of scenes where there's your premonition kind of things.
Do you use the word meh in your essays, by the way?
Yes,
really
I do.
Really good adjective for films.
I use them in my reviews. when we have the premonition things, the mise-en-scène suddenly becomes all like a music video kind of visual, and so it's very kind of stylized.
Yeah.
And while at times hokey, it was also quite fun. So I don't know, I feel it was both terrible and very interesting.
It's not a very good title, is it? Doesn't tell you much.
And yet, it doesn't, but it's, I think it's a more intelligent title maybe than...
No, that's a bad title. If you have to watch the film to think the title is good, that is a bad title to a film,
really?
In my opinion. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to have a think and come back to you later.
By the way, hello to Nayama, who has texted in, who was on the show last year. She says, hello from Israel. It's good to hear us, and good luck with our first show. Thank you, Nayama. So that was the UK box office top five. Now we are into the big hitters. At number five is Inside Out. And Alicia, you saw this one.
Yes, I've seen it. It's been a while since it's been out, so it speaks volumes that it's still in the top five, which is really good.
Yeah, I think it's like the 27th of July or something crazy.
Yeah, it's been out for ages, but obviously big hit with the kids and stuff with summer. It's Pixar's big summer blockbuster, and basically the concept is emotions having emotions, which is really cool. They've kind of progressed from having like toys having emotions, bugs and all that kind of stuff that they've been doing. The film revolves around a young girl, Riley, and how she copes through like going through things in her life, like moving house and all that kind of stuff, and how the emotions inside of her mind have to like store her memories, and how they kind of make her do certain things, like if she's angry, the person in the mind like kind of bash on the table and all this kind of stuff. It's really comical. I found it really enjoyable. I definitely recommend watching it. It's definitely good for both young people and like everyone. It's definitely a family film. When I went to see it, it was mostly adults in the cinema, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I would agree with that, because I always wonder about my ability to judge whether kids' films are good.
Yeah.
Because like I thought that with Bill as well. I have no idea if children will like it, but I don't really mind because I liked it. And I felt the same way about Inside Out. I'm the targeted audience for every film I watch, so yeah.
Technically correct.
Fine by me. I really liked Inside Out. I remember last year, Tom, you said that you thought it was inherently flawed from before it came out because...
I'm being held to account for something I've forgotten saying.
Because it's impossible to have layered characters when each like character is an emotion.
That sounds like something I'd say.
Yeah, it was.
It sounded incredibly arrogant and snobby.
Yeah, but I thought that they dealt with it really well, and it was really sweet. It made absolute sense of your brain. I felt like they'd really done their research.
It's been sort of recommended by kind of like the psychological in by people working in the field approve of it, so
yeah, it was very cool. I liked the inner workings of the memory and stuff. It's all like ball bearings, it's all very mechanical and everything, which is always nice. And the scenes at the end before the credits are amazing. They are so funny.
That was really good.
I really enjoyed that. So yeah, I'm not sure if you can still, I think you can still catch it for like a good week or so, because it's probably doing so well. But yeah, I really would recommend it to absolutely everyone. Number four is Miss You Already, which I saw the other day. It's quite a small little film. It's I don't know, it's quite good at the moment because it is written and directed and starring all women. It is Toni Collette and Drew Barrymore. Tom's just mouthing words.
I wasn't sure if it was. I thought I saw a poster.
Yeah, Toni Collette and Drew Barrymore play like the best of friends who have been friends since childhood. And that was the main reason that I went to see it, really, is because I've got a friend who I have known since I was a baby. So we've been close for all of our lives. And I wanted to see how that really, really close female relationship was being portrayed, because you don't really get it a lot in leads unless it's like a comedy. And then I always feel the friendships are quite superficial.
Yeah.
Toni Collette's character gets cancer. A lot of the film is about that, but it's also just about general life and relationships and stuff. Paddy Considine plays Drew Barrymore's husband in the film, and I agree with Tom's face. I wish that we were on TV. You've got Dominic Cooper, who plays Toni Collette's husband, and they are really good in the supporting roles. I really liked it. It is kind of flawed. I've thought about it afterwards and I was thinking that it's kind of, you know how rom-coms, they always exist in this extra special shiny life where they all have lots of money, they don't need to worry about money, so that is instantly like got rid of that problem, and they just don't have very real problems. It all feels quite surface, and that was kind of the problem for me. But at the same time, that's more for the first half. For the second half, I thought it found its stride and, you know, really got into the teeth, it got its teeth into the material. And yeah, I would recommend it. It is a good film, but flawed, like, indefinitely. And then number three is The Maze Runner, Scorched Trials. Jake, why don't you tell us about that one?
I must say, I actually thought this was surprisingly decent. I mean, the first one is an enjoyable enough film. It's not quite on the level of The Hunger Games and certainly nowhere near Harry Potter. But the second one actually really kind of learns from it. It builds a much more engaging script. It's well-paced. It's generally pretty well-constructed. And it's just a good shift in focus to this kind of broader world. And there's a kind of change of genre. They have a surprising horror elements in it, actually. I mean, I must say,
Aren't there, like, zombies?
Yeah, I hate zombies, so I wasn't too thrilled on finding this. But it's actually really quite well done. I think book fans might be a little bit concerned because the story does deviate quite significantly. Though having then done a little kind of plot read after the film, I actually think it makes it significantly better because the book plot is just really weird. But the film itself, I saw it on a whim. It won't win any awards, but I did actually think it was good enough to make me want to watch the next one, which ultimately I think is all they really need to do.
That's good. Have you seen like The Hunger Games and Divergent and stuff? How does it fit into the YA sci-fi genre?
It's certainly kind of in the same vein as The Hunger Games, maybe probably not as on that kind of level of quality. It's certainly better than Divergent, which is just a pile of rubbish. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Alicia. But I'm sorry, that is awful. But it's in the same kind of vein as The Hunger Games, and if you like that kind of film, you'll probably like this. But having said that, I don't particularly like The Hunger Games, and I still enjoyed it. So, yeah.
Fair enough. At number two is Legend, which all of us have seen, which is, it's always a delight. Tom, why don't you start us off?
Do I have to start it?
Yeah.
Because then you're going to end on a positive note and it doesn't deserve it.
You can have the last word if you really want.
It's basically, it's like a Martin Scorsese film, but by people who have never seen a Martin Scorsese film, only read about them, in that they just get everything wrong. It's far too overlot. By sort of from 90 minutes onwards, all I kept thinking every time a new scene started was, ugh. And I did order
myself. Why don't you say what it is?
It's about the craze. I assume people know that. It's got very popular because of the fact that Tom Hardy's playing both of them. Great.
Yeah.
I think you need more than that to. That's all anyone. When people praise it, that's all they're talking about.
That
acting.
Is true. That is my main praise.
There's more to
it. Is that I think that Tom Hardy is really good as Ronnie and Reggie.
Make it a theatre piece then.
But I didn't think it was all that bad. I would agree that it's too long, but I wasn't as obviously offended by it.
It seemed to miss stuff.
You seemed to be offended on the basis of quality.
It seemed to miss stuff that it sort of would then allude to. It's like, oh yeah, we're doing this thing. It's like, if you feel it important enough to bring it up, why didn't we see it? Why are you talking about it?
But
and then
it
would focus on other inane stuff. Yeah, it's too long, and yet they're missing stuff they clearly feel is important. It's so boring. This afternoon when I went to go see Solace, I walked into the wrong screen, and I came in, and I walked in, and I heard this music, and I thought, this music's familiar, where have I heard this? And I assumed like people were just sort of setting down, the lights had just gone down, and obviously there was the adverts were playing, and it looked like an advert. And I sat down, and I managed to go in, find my seat, sit down, and was looking at the screen for a solid 30 seconds, and I thought, damn it, it's this film again! And I didn't realise that's how it sort of. I only saw it last week, and yet it's so ineffectual that I didn't remember seeing it, and I was able to watch a chunk of it before realising again.
I think that's a bit harsh.
Other views are available. Alicia, what did you think of Legend?
I did really like it, but you've got a point. I probably really liked it because Tom Hardy did a great job, yeah. So you've made a fair point on that.
Yeah, Jake?
I don't think it's unfair to like it because Tom Hardy's good. I mean, it's ultimately, he is the main character twice over. And I think if he does a good performance, that's not a bad reason to like the film. I do agree that it was too long. But I still enjoyed it. I wouldn't necessarily rush to see it again, but I'm happy I did see it at least once.
I managed to accidentally see it a bit twice.
I think it is also, it's catering well to its audience with the fight scenes and stuff, because the people who are really going to want to see it are the people who want to see like an action film, but that who love the, you know, retro
time
London
period.
Gangster kind of vibe. And I think that it does cater well to them. And there is an argument that it might be exploitative in that way.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people do think it shouldn't be called Legend, etc.
Well, absolutely, yeah. The other thing that really hacked me off was the music choices, because they kept choosing music, which obviously was fitting the time period, but was more famous in other films. And so every time it came on, it's like, why are you reminding me of these better crime films in your crappy excuse for one?
I think you are too much of a film buff to enjoy
Legend.
I
didn't notice that at all.
Yeah, I think probably other people would prefer it. Anyway, at number one, topping the UK box office this week, is Everest, which, Alicia, you have seen.
Yeah. So basically, this is based on a true story of the climbing tragedy of 1996, and basically a climbing expedition to summit Mount Everest goes terribly wrong when a snowstorm hits. I won't give any more details than that. But it's definitely worth watching. But if you're going to watch it, I'd probably say in IMAX because it is visually stunning. I only watched it in standard screening, but I think everyone who's seen it said IMAX is best.
Yeah, I think because it's because the 3D works best with like depth rather than things coming towards you, and the Himalayas are probably quite good on depth. I would imagine wide
they
shots
don't come
of the Himalayas.
At you much, they're mountains. Yeah. They just sort of sit there.
But yeah, we were talking about this earlier. None of us remembered the real life
exactly,
event, I guess,
yeah.
because 1996 we were all
two
young
or
yeah. So, but I feel like the fact that it's topped the box office must show that there are some people who are interested in the story, as well as people who just want to see, you know.
I'm surprised it's done as well as it has, because I've like barely any marketing, and the fact it's sort of this.
I've seen quite a bit of
I've seen a lot on the buses.
Yeah,
it
is on buses.
I don't know how. I don't know
that's
how much,
always the judge of how well a film is marketed.
Because they stay on buses forever, so I don't know. Marketing on buses seems very odd fashion.
It's got a really good cast, though, and I think that's what's drawn people to it, like Jason Clarke, Jake Gyllenhaal, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So that'll really draw people in.
I have to admit, I'm a little bit surprised at how well it's done as well, because I've looked at the trailers and I was fairly underwhelmed. It wasn't something that leapt out to me as something to see, but clearly there's people that know
maybe
something
that
I don't.
Maybe it's also, you know how everyone's healthy these days and hikes and stuff? Maybe people want to see that.
No, but if you do see it, then you probably don't want to climb Everest afterwards. So it's going to get that kind of effect.
This is URN.
The Film Show Breakdown.